Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. Study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, discussing again today the therapeutic movement. Let me read to you the prediction of how things are going to be in the last days. This is from 2 Timothy 3. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Does that describe the days we're living in? It certainly does. I can't think of a more accurate description. But, of course, it was written as a warning to the young Timothy from the Apostle Paul, assuming that they were going to find that these things were happening and that they were themselves in the last days, which, of course, they weren't, and we don't know that we are either. But that list is descriptive of America, at least. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then in Ephesians 4, there's a description of the differences between the old and the new self. When I hear people talking about learning to love themselves, I want to ask them, which self are you talking about? This distinction is rarely made, but it's very clear in the Bible. It says in Ephesians 4, 17, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in their futility of their thinking. And of course, Paul uses the word Gentiles as to mean all those who are not Jews, and he's writing to Jews. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught of him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And I would add here that I think one of the most deceitful desires that has been instilled in people's hearts today is the desire for a good self-image, to feel good about ourselves. And he calls this deceitful. He says to be made new. We are to be made new in the attitude of our minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Not esteem, but righteousness. The putting away of sin, the aiming toward being like God, like Jesus Christ. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those in need. And he goes on with many other things that will be done by those who are honest and serious about wanting to follow God. Again, I want to read to you from Kirk Kilpatrick's book, Psychological Seduction. He says some of the psychologists that he knows talk credulously of astral projection, reincarnation, the non-reality of matter, and the transcendent spirit of oneness. Kilpatrick says much of the philosophy behind this is muddled and amateurish. But it does prove one point. In and of itself, psychology is not a satisfactory vision. Here are experts who have access to the most sophisticated and rational analysis psychology has to offer, and they prefer instead to practice yoga and meditation and consult with mediums and gurus. This growing, quote, spiritual, unquote, trend within psychology can be taken as a further corroboration of the point with which I began this chapter. It pays Christianity the compliment of admitting what Christians have maintained all along. We need to get ourselves on a different level. It's not surprising, then, that psychology would sooner or later also come up with its own version of the born-again experience. The best example of this is the Encounter Group, with its remarkable claim of exchanging old lives for new and the equally remarkable emotionalism that attends it. It is as if a camp meeting were whisked out from its tent and set down in an upholstered conference room, and the preacher transformed by some sleight of hand into a group leader. In encounter groups, people confess their sins, share fellowship, claim to feel the workings of the Spirit, and come out anxious to convert others to their way. In addition to encounter groups are the countless self-help books, pamphlets, and advertisements that promise new life, new personality, and psychological rebirth. They beat upon the brain like the noise of breakers and carry a similar force. Minds are swept before these promises like pebbles in surf. And like a determined surfer, the mind keeps going back for more. One thing I think is certain. When wrapped in the garments of psychology, the idea of being born again takes on a respectability that is not granted to Christian belief. The psychological society can believe what it wants with impunity. Sensing this, Christians will sometimes strive for a similar relevancy in the presentation and practice of the faith. That is a danger, isn't it? We're always hoping that we can make ourselves relevant, and that so often leads to compromise, to a watering down of the truth of God. Reading on, but whether the spirit that animates these psychological conversions is related to the Holy Spirit is a question that Christians must carefully ponder. Some Christians have been too quick to notice the similarities between Christianity and born-again psychology, and too slow to notice the differences, with the result that many church activities have taken on a distinctively encounter group flavor, and group methods have begun to substitute for Christian practice. There are traps laid here for the unwary Christian, and one of them is the mistaken notion that spiritual progress is basically a matter of holding hands and hugging and feeling good about people. That is not what Christ meant when he instructed Nicodemus to be born again. Even supposing the claims for radical personality change to be true, we must remember that encounter is still nothing more than secular salvation. It does not usher us into the kingdom of heaven. The same applies to the more modest goals of professional psychology, adjustment, personality integration, better functioning. Good things, yes, but you can have them and still be no better off in the eyes of heaven than a man mumbling lunacies in an asylum. You remember the story of Nicodemus, the man who came to Jesus by night, presumably because he didn't want to be seen associating with this strange and apparently very radical rabbi. And he asked Jesus a crucial question. "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus said. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit."
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.